the bride of Jesus. She waits for the day of glory. What a blessed grace! She exchanged her burden of sin for a wedding garment. Marvelous saving grace. Grace, pure and bright. Marvelous fountain. Grace flows from Jesus' wounds. And in this flood of grace from Golgotha, I have found salvation. Angelic princes marvel and can hardly understand that the Lord died for us. They desire to see what no eye has seen, what His love has purchased for us. Grace, pure and bright, marvelous fountain. Grace flows from Jesus' wounds. And in this flood of grace from Golgotha, I have found salvation. Let my grace be sufficient for you, said the Lord, in answer to Paul's earnest prayer, and grace became a firm defense for him, strong enough in all his needs. Grace, pure and bright, marvelous fountain. Grace flows from Jesus' wounds. And in this flood of grace from Golgotha, I have found salvation. When we one day pass through those pearly gates, redeemed, it will only be by pure grace. Faith and hope end. Love remains. Love by the Savior's grace. Grace, pure and bright, marvelous fountain. Grace flows from Jesus' wounds. And in this flood of grace from Golgotha, I have found salvation. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, I greet you warmly in the precious and holy name of our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. It is my wish and my prayer that God will bless this broadcast in a special way and make it a blessing for all. And my prayer is also for all translators worldwide. God bless you and give you the right words in your language. We have truly arrived at a time when we can lift up our heads because we know that our redemption is drawing near. We all know what God has promised and what God is doing now. We all know Bible prophecy and see the fulfillment worldwide. Even on the first day of the year, the great earthquake in Japan. And when we look around us, everything has changed. And we realize that the return of the Lord is really very close. And we think of the precious Bible verses that are addressed to us, that we should hear them. And we have also recognized that the last message was brought before the return of Jesus Christ, and that it has reached the ends of the earth. And we believe that Brother Branham was the promised prophet sent by God to restore all things. And when we read right at the beginning of the book of Acts, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, they continued at the very beginning. But what followed in the years after? And we must now emphasize that we have been brought back to the beginning, that we continue in the apostles' doctrine. Only in this way can we remain before God in true prayer and in the fellowship of the Spirit with the Lord and with one another. After all, the Lord has also spoken to me several times. He has also said, "My servant, gather to me my people, all who have made the covenant with me, that they may hear my words." We don't want stories. We don't want interpretations. We want to hear the original word and really go back to the very beginning as it was in the book of Acts. And we all also know that when the promise was given, "I will send you Elijah the prophet," then we have to go back to what Elijah did. He called the people of God together who had gone in all directions, and then took the 12 stones, set up the altar, and called out to the people, "How long will you limp to either side?" And we have to say the same now. No more back and forth. And if you then think of Hebrews 3, verse 7, of the people of Israel, "And they have not known my ways, and their hearts always go astray." People of God, brothers and sisters, we must know the way of the Lord with His church at this time, and no longer go our own way. It really is such a serious time, and we've heard it in some of the New Year's broadcasts. Some have used the expression, it could be the last year. We have a chorus in German, because Jesus calls you and invites you. It could be the last time. And then it could be the last year. Only God knows the time of the second coming, but we want to be ready. Let us read some scriptures, and may God give grace that every word speaks to us. Here you go, Brother Borg. We read from Isaiah 44, verse 26, first part. Isaiah 44, verse 26a. That confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers.
Amen.
Who fulfills the word of his servants, the prophets. God has foretold a plan of salvation through the prophets, and he has taken responsibility for fulfilling all that he has announced through his prophets. Let us read on. We read from Acts 20, verse 27. Acts 20, verse 27. For I have not failed to declare unto you all the counsel of God.
Amen.
Brother Branham has also not failed. He had the courage, the commission, to proclaim the true word of God. And it is the same today. We have the divine message, and at the same time, the divine responsibility to say on behalf of the Lord only what God has said in his word. That is why it is written, blessed and holy is he who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. Blessed are our eyes, for they see. Blessed are our ears, for they hear. Only those who are of God hear God's word, and everyone else hears what others had to say. Please take it seriously. Paul also proclaimed the whole counsel of God, and Brother Branham did the same, and I have been doing the same for the past 60 years. Let's read on. We read from Ephesians 1, verse 9. Ephesians 1, verse 9. having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. To this also we say Amen. He has made known to us the mystery of his will with the church, with the bride church. And therefore, we pass it on. We have nothing to bring from ourselves, only what the Lord has made known to us. And we may testify from the heart. He has revealed to us the mystery of his will, which he worked out and announced ages ago in order to declare it to us. And we received it by grace and were able to pass it on. Here you go. We read from 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 5. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 5. I read verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has born us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To this too we say Amen. The resurrection was the victory so that the new life could come forth. A mortal body of our Lord was laid in the grave. In the resurrection, a resurrection body. And so we too have new life. The new life as revealed through the power of the resurrection. And so we too have received the new divine life by grace. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Here you go. We read verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. We also say Amen to this. We are heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus Christ, and everything is reserved for us in heaven. And we will go from one surprise to another when we see all that God has prepared for us. Let us remain faithful to the end. For only those who remain faithful to the end will be crowned and taken up into glory. Here you go. We read verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen. This word is addressed directly to us now, who are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. And we know that he will return, and that time is near. He himself has said, when these things come to pass, then know that it is at the door. And we have realized that we are living in the last dispensation of grace, and the last message will reach all who are destined to take part in the first resurrection and the rapture. Let us read on. We read from John 3, verse 16. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. For God so loved you and me, indeed the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. Here we are talking about Golgotha, and there Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for all the sons and daughters of God. He shed his blood, the blood of the new covenant, to give us eternal life. After we have received and accepted forgiveness and grace. For God so loved you and me, he loved us so much, that he gave our Savior to die for us. We are redeemed. We have become sons and daughters of God by grace. Here you go. We read from Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We also say amen to this. Dear brothers and sisters, our bodies are a temple of God. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Redemption happened so that everything could become new in us, and the Lord could take dwelling in us through faith. Let this be our reasonable service, that we also make our bodies available to the Lord as a temple of God. So not just singing and praying with words and holding services, but that our bodies can really be a temple, and when we come together, that we come together as children of God, and then it will be our reasonable service before the face of the Lord. May God grant it to us all by grace, that we may experience such services from now on. Here you go. We read from Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Praise be to the Lord, that we have a sure judgment about this. O God, grant us all that we may truly recognize the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God with us, with the Church. For we not only pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, but as our Lord prayed in Gethsemane, not my will, but Thy will be done. That we can pray sincerely from the heart, Beloved Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done in my life and in the life of the Church. This is the time in which we must allow every word of God to speak to us and inwardly agree and be ready to do what the Lord has told us. Here you go. We read from Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24. Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24. I read verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Also a very serious word, that you must put off the old man and put on the new, which is created according to God's righteousness. May God grant this to all of us, to all young people, to all those who have grown older. God grant it to us all, for we do not belong in this world. Here we are guests and strangers. Our home is there on high. Young people should not join worldly clubs, but should be at the Lord's disposal. After all, we have all been ordained to no longer live our lives, but to be here for the Lord and to have His life on earth. Here you go. We read verses 23 and 24. And that ye must be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Oh, these are such serious words. And over and again, the word must, the word must. Ye must be born again. Ye must put on the new man. It is a divine must for believers. And that is why we thank the Lord that the Apostle Paul had to bring forth in a special way, not only doctrinally, but exhortatory, that the things that are needed, that he had to emphasize and include them in the preaching. You must put off the old man and put on the new man, which is created after God's righteousness. And we thank the Lord that he is helping us to do this. He creates the new. We must put off the old. To the Lord be the thanks that it is happening. Here you go. We read from Galatians 5, verses 19 to 21. Galatians 5, 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is such a serious word. Here 15 things are listed that belong to the old man and that must not be found in us, that we really look into the mirror of the Word. And if we find anything in this list that has been read to us, then let us put it away in faith, with a broken heart, under repentance, and ask the Lord to help us, that really the old man, with all his characteristics, must be put off, and that everything may become new by grace. Please, let us all look into the mirror of the Word, and we thank the Lord that it is possible for everything to become new in our hearts, minds, and lives. Here you go. We read from Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
Thank you.
Thanks be to the Lord.
Es ist einfach wunderbar.
It is just marvelous that the virtues of the new man are listed here. And we can say with inner approval, Beloved Lord, by grace, these things have come into our lives. Through the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit has been placed within us. And let me emphasize this. How many in the Pentecostal movement have gifts of the Spirit, but they don't have the fruits of the Spirit? We need both. We need the gifts of the Spirit, but especially the fruits of the Spirit. For we read what our Lord said about those who are to come. Have we not prophesied in thy name, casting out devils and doing this and that? And the Lord says, I do not know you, depart from me. He can say this to those who operate gifts, because they did not have the fruit of the Spirit. And therefore, beloved brothers and sisters, may the fruits of the Spirit be manifested in us, and may the gifts be embedded in the love of God, which is mentioned first as the fruit of the Spirit. And we come back to the Word, for God so much loved the world. Everything divine is embedded in divine love, and therefore what God is now doing in the completion must be done in divine love, in those in whom the Word has come true. Here you go. We read from Romans 8, verse 11. Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Thanks be to the Lord. By His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So not just an anointing, a blessing, but by the Spirit of God dwelling in you. We thank the Lord God for this. As we have emphasized before, we are the temple of God. We are the body of the Lord. We are the church of the firstborn. And the Lord wants to reveal Himself in us and through us. And so we thank the Lord for the exhortations, and we thank the Lord for speaking such clear language to us. And we thank the Lord that He has given us a heart that truly receives in faith and does in obedience what the Lord has commanded us. Here you go. We read from Romans 5, verse 5. Romans 5, verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Again we give thanks. The love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. As we have emphasized, not only gifts, but the fruits of the Spirit must be manifested. You will not know them by their gifts, but by their fruits ye will know them. And we are very grateful to the Lord that our mortal bodies are being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, just as the inside has been transformed, and just as God has given us a new heart, a new life, so He will give us a new body through the power of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. May it happen, dear brothers and sisters, that such a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit takes place, that our hearts overflow. I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, that God will do it in us, so that the difference will be revealed between those who have found grace with God and those who only speak of grace, that the difference is revealed between those who truly believe and serve God and those who only say, we believe and we serve, that it becomes manifest that the divine promises have come true in us, and that we personally experience the fulfillment of the promises. As it has often been emphasized, that God will also fulfill everything He has promised through us. I'm just overwhelmed in faith and know that the Lord will finish His work. Here you go. We read from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Praise and glory be to our Lord. As we said at the beginning, the time is coming to an end. I mean the time of grace. And the coming of the Lord is really just around the corner. It could be the last time that the Lord speaks to us in such a clear way. It could be the last year in which the Lord fulfills the final promises. No one knows the day and hour, but this much we have all realized. The Lord God has sent Brother Branham with the message of the Word that would forerun the second coming of Christ. And we emphasize this in the last sermon, Matthew 24:14, Revelation 14:6, the everlasting gospel has been preached to all nations for a witness, and then the end will come. This is what our Lord has promised. No more messenger will come, and no other message will come. It is the final message, the last invitation, the last call. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. The Lord calls the last ones to repentance. The Lord calls out the last ones who belong to the bride church. And as soon as the number is full, the word we have just read will be fulfilled. The Lord will come again. He will return, hallelujah, to take us home. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And those who are alive in Christ will be changed. And according to 1 Thessalonians 4, we will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Today, the words of God are written. Tomorrow, they may already have become divine reality. They have been read in the past 2,000 years. All these scriptures could be read, but now we are living in the time of the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, and we can thank our Lord from the bottom of our hearts that we have recognized the signs of the end times, that we have heard and believed the last message, that we have been brought back to the doctrine and practice of the apostles. We believe as they believed. We baptize as they baptized. We break the bread as they did. We pray as they prayed. We have been brought back to the doctrine of the apostles. And whoever resists this will not be able to be there, because the Lord wanted to restore all things through the last ministry and bring everything back to its rightful place. We have listed all the scriptures, be it Matthew 17:10-11, or Malachi, and all the scriptures, including Acts 3. We have proclaimed all the scriptures, and all who are of God believe and participate in what God is presently doing. Let us say again what we have read in the first two scriptures. The Lord, who had his counsel proclaimed through his prophets, is bringing his counsel to fulfillment in our time. And we may see, believe, and experience everything by grace. May this year be a year of Jubilee, a blessed year, thoroughly blessed by God in all of us. May the blessing of Almighty God rest on all translators, on all brothers who pass on the spiritual food and preach the revealed word, and on all those in all languages who hear and believe it and experience their preparation. Please believe it. The Lord, at his return, he will find a bride without spot or wrinkle. Please make sure you are there. May you all be blessed in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen.